afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am delighted to have with me in the studio today Liz Gate from EG People Development and a colleague of Liz's, Ruth Goldwater from Herefordshire Council. So welcome to you both. Liz, hi. It's great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you for inviting us both.
That's all right. So Liz and I have known each other for about a year now.
Yes, something like that.
Met with good old networking. Would you like to fill the listeners in on EG Personal Development?
Yes.
People Development, sorry.
it's another P. Yeah. EG People Development, yes, I've been around, I've been self-employed since 2001, but I'm completely self-employed since 2018. And really, the business was set up so I could enable people to be that best version of themselves. So I just work with all sorts of individuals or any size of organisation, and whether it's in leadership or personal development. And I just simply just love what I do. And that's the reasoning behind the business. And I just connect with people who have that similar passion.
Yeah, you make that sound so simple, but there's a lot of science, there's a lot of study behind the work that you do that just brings all of that to the forefront of people. To enable them to be that best version, isn't it?
Yeah, I really don't stop. And even on the hour journey here today, I've been listening to another book in the car called Rebel Ideas. So Ruth, watch out, that's going to be coming in the new program. And it's all about sort of creative, innovative thinking and diverse thinking. So I honestly just don't stop. I'm really on top of current international thought leaders and their ideas on management and leadership and personal development. Everything from Jay Shetty's book, Think Like a Monk, to, you know, through to the book I've been listening to on the way here. So, yeah, I've invested a lot. And in my career, I started off in HR, but gradually realised that didn't really fulfil what I wanted to achieve. And it was about, again, enabling people to be that best version. I wanted to be my best version. And I just grew and stretched into leadership and personal development. And that's where I sit now. And I do simply love what I do.
So what do you do in your spare time, if you have any, whilst your audiobooks I find absolutely brilliant because you can be listening to them while you're washing up, you can while you're driving, anything. What do you do? What's behind Liz's EG?
Well, that is interesting. I do still listen to books when I'm gardening. So all weekend I have been doing that. But other than that, I've been a horse rider for 20 something years, but I have now swapped horsepower. So my partner and I spend time on our motorbikes. So and really, motorbikes satisfy my sense of adventure, my values in terms of freedom. And so both of us have bikes. And so whenever we have a spare moment, we are often about on our bikes. We are pretty much fair weather bikers, I have to say. but it is pretty grim when you're on a bike and pouring with the rain. But that's how we spend our time. Yeah, motorbiking.
I remember those days. Well, I used to be a fair weathered pillion. And our last one would be the first Sunday in December. We'd go out with friends, go for a Sunday lunch. And I couldn't wait for that to be done, because you'd have layers and layers if it was really cold, and then wait until March and April arrived.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. So, Ruth, mm-hmm. We're not ignoring you. Welcome into the studio and with us today. Give us a little bit of background. Who are you? What makes you tick?
Who am I? Well, I've just discovered that Liz and I do have a fair bit in common. I am a gardener. I've been building a garden for the past 5 years since moving into a new property. I love the great outdoors. I also used to be a horse rider, and I swapped two wheels, but two wheels that you pedal.
Your own horsepower, so to speak.
I love being outside. I love mountains. I love hills, getting out into the wilds.
Yeah. Fantastic. I may have to get some tips from you later, but I use the feet. I'm not a cyclist, and it was a previous life when I was on the back of a motorbike. Yeah, we love walking, and we have so much beautiful scenery around us. You know, if somebody said you couldn't leave the island that we're on, I'd be okay. There's still a lot to explore.
Definitely.
So, yeah, wonderful. So, ladies, how did you two meet? How did you two get to be working together?
I think it was on a training course. Actually, I first met Ruth. And what was really sweet when we were reintroduced again several months ago through your manager, Michelle, though I heard of a great relief. Oh, fantastic. You know, Liz is going to be coming to work with us again. So that was Ruth and her colleague, Sue. So that was just a delight because, you know, I do tend to, I remember faces, but I do forget names. So it was it's just lovely that I've, you know, something has happened that you've touched someone's life in a way when you have met them. So I was quite relieved that they were looking forward to me coming back. So it was on an Insights Discovery course, wasn't it, Ruth?
It was, yes. Probably 3 years ago when I was fairly new in post at Herefordshire Council. And I was a member of one of the cohorts that went on your programme through the council's offer.
Yes. Yeah, so we did. And also, didn't we work with actors as well? We did do that, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did. And they did not miss a trick.
So before we go on to the actors, what's the Insights Discovery that you've just mentioned?
Yeah, so Insights Discovery is a psychometric tool which is aimed to help you understand how you tick. It looks at your preferences and how you tend to be typically in the workplace. It is the global leader of psychometric tools. And if anyone wanting to have a look, if you go onto Google and just type insights.com, you'll find a whole heap of information. And the tool is used in companies from, I don't know, Unilever through to Google and all the major banks. And it is a global tool. It's huge in the States. It's huge, obviously, in the UK, out into Europe. And actually, they've recently opened an office in Australia. I have offered to hop out there when I can to help them out, but I haven't said yes yet. So,
Well, when they do, if you need somebody to help carry the bags, should we go, Ruth? That sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah.
There's a lot of kit to carry around.
There is. And clearly you're going to need some support while you're out there training and coaching people in this.
Yes, I will. I will need you. And it's such a great tool. It's simple to use. And I think Ruth will agree that with all the work we've I've trained over 200 managers, leaders throughout Herefordshire Council, and now it gives them a common language. So Insights Discovery uses four primary colours to describe, actually not all primary colours, so sunshine yellow, earth green, cool blue and fiery red. And we use those colour energies or preferences to describe behaviours. So what's really cool is that I do know that people are going, oh, I just need to use more of my fiery red. And everyone knows what that means. Mm. So we've created common language in the council, which is a great success.
It certainly did, because I remember when the first couple of cohorts started to really learn and reflect on their insights profiles, how much conversation that generated amongst colleagues.
You were part of that 3 years ago when you first met Liz and started to go through it back then.
Yeah.
And has that developed more over this time, that people are using that common language far more?
Still it does come up in conversation. And it's quite interesting. My manager and I are polar opposites in the colour spectrum, and we really complement each other the way we work together. So we bring out the best of each other, and we've learnt a lot about the things that we can do to increase our performance and play to our strengths because of how we understand what makes each other tick.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I understand about it is that it can help you learn how to communicate differently with each other, particularly if you are those opposites on those colours. How's that been for you, Ruth?
It's been quite interesting because I know that I'm a classic introvert, and my manager is a classic extrovert. we've learnt about how to give each other the right kind of environment to wind down or recharge after a busy event, something that we've been doing together that's been quite intense. And so my manager knows about me that I need to, if I've had to dial up to a lot of extroversion, which I do because I train groups and I facilitate groups, that I need to have some quiet time and just vanish.
Yes.
Whereas my manager loves to then reconnect with people and talk to people and download the day with other people.
Yeah, that's a real difference, isn't it? And it's not that, I mean, Liz, you can talk about that, but it's how we have those differences doesn't mean to say we can't step into that alternative. It's just not our natural place. Would that be fair to say, Liz?
Yeah, I agree with you. And also the benefit of, say, having a profile, you'll never know what space to step into unless you first understand yourself. So then you know, like Ruth is describing, what you either need to dial up or dial down. Mm. So certainly in my case, because Ruth and I are sort of typically opposites, you know, I would know to just bring some stuff down, you know, tone down that extroversion and just put it in a way that Ruth will go, yeah, I'm hearing you now, as opposed to me just bowling in and being this bright, sunshiny yellow kind of person. And Ruth's going, oh, my life, that's just too much. So, yeah, it helps you understand yourself and then how you can connect more effectively with people.
Mm. It works the other way as well, though, because it's it gives me some latitude to be able to tap into my extroversion, because I'm an introvert, it doesn't mean I can't be extrovert.
Yeah.
So it brings me out of myself as well sometimes, and yeah, can let my hair down a bit.
Do you occasionally find that you have the jazz hands, or do you let Liz still keep those?
I'm good at those.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it is one of those things that when we work with a team, not every organisation thinks about the team in terms of its personality, its styles, the way in which we all work. We may be pulled together because of technical expertise. Mm. Is this what you found really lends itself to organisations with using Insights?
Definitely, because, for example, we might be a fabulous engineer or a social worker, but then the whole piece about leading other people and inspiring and motivating other people, we need to tap into something different. Unless you know that about yourself, why would you do anything different? And the other key bit of learning that I'm getting from the book that I'm listening to, The Rebel Ideas, is that if you're all kind of a bunch of people who are all very similar, you get this kind of this same thinking. And of course the evidence have shown in the book is full of these examples of where actually you need diverse thinking for great decision making. And if you're all doing stuff in a very similar way, then it's not going to be diverse. And equally, as Ruth really is also saying, there was a statistic I heard on the way, now I can't remember it, but it said that people with high extroversion think they're great listeners, but tend not to be, and they dominate meetings. So people like Ruth might be thinking, well, I've got a great idea, ends up not sharing it, and then a decision is made, and Ruth's thinking, well, actually, I did have a good idea. So It's finding is that people like Ruth finding strategies to, and I've had colleagues that go, well, I just interrupt. You watch people with high extroversion, they interrupt each other. Mm-hmm. So then I have a go at it. Mm-hmm. And unless we learn that about ourselves and learn as leaders to have this really good diverse thinking, we are just going to probably, as organisations, just ignore people and make poor decisions because we're not, we haven't got that diverse thinking. Mm. So it's even more important.
I think that's a critical point, because in terms of looking after employee well-being, which is something that's really close to my heart, professionally I'm qualified as a counsellor and an HR practitioner, so HR and employee well-being is really important to me, and understanding how to get the best out of people in terms of their personality is a really useful trick and a way of having something there to really tap into somebody's potential. And I know that when it's really hard to interrupt somebody and say something, even though you've got the best idea in the world, that's really stressful, and that can really affect somebody's well-being if they're not feeling heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, shall we just take a little break, go to some music, and then let's come back and have some more discussion about how this all works in practice. See you later.
Oh, yeah. Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Thou may change me, but I can't trace time. Ripples change the size, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultation. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? Your left is up to her next to me. Time may change me, but you can't twist time. Strange fascination, fascinating. Our changes are taking the pace I'm going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Oh, look out, you rock and rollers.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
That time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Good bit of David Bowie with Changes. I do love a bit of Bowie, so thank you, Ruth, for suggesting that one.
No worries.
We talked before about, Ruth, you remembered meeting Liz 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Liz, was that the point that you got involved with Herefordshire Council, or what prompted them to get in touch with you and start this journey?
It was, well, my initial journey started with Herefordshire back in 2017 with the Assistant Director of Adults and Wellbeing, as it was at the time, Stephen Vickers, wanted to increase the leadership capacity and sort of competency within his directorate, because he recognised he had some really talented people, like we said earlier, brilliant in their fields, whether it's from social work through to commissioning. And he wanted people to lead people through some quite complex change. So he brought me in. Well, I had to always remember, please put me a submission together on one page. That was lovely. several people pitched in for that piece of work. And maybe it's because I use one page and others use more than one page. I don't know. But anyway, I subsequently was then invited to do the work. And I undertook six modules across four cohorts from and it included personal leadership, it included leading change, delivering results, performance management, team effectiveness, and agile and agility and resilience. Mm-hmm. So there were six modules, and we achieved a great deal. And as Ruth was alluding to, you know, there it was really at that stage we started this cultural change. Well, people were using different language. They were talking in similar ways. They talked about behaviours being really important in the workplace rather than just, well, I've done a job, and not really worried about behaviours. So that was the start of the change. And then I was then invited to apply for another piece of work, a full tender. And as I recall, that took something like 2 days to put together. And that was for more of a corporate-wide programme. So that was much broader than just in that directorate. So that I was delighted with, because, again, we were pushing the consistency of culture right across the organisation. And that has recently finished with the promise potentially of maybe one or two more cohorts. So that, again, was about personal leadership and leading other people. And at that point, then I realised, I suppose I need to hand over to Ruth, because then the inspiration for further work came. So, Ruth, I'll let you carry on the story.
Thank you, Liz. Yeah, I was in one of the groups that came through towards the end of that story that Liz has just described. And then when I came into post, which was just coming up to 3 years ago, I and my manager set out a plan to transform the directorate in terms of providing a lot more access to learning and development, really giving the opportunity for some really good professional and technical skills development. And we're now in the second year of a 3-year plan of delivering that. So we have a budgeted and supported training plan, which has got the inputs and consultation with managers, assistant director, right the way through to director to agree that plan. And a theme that's kept coming up as we were doing that consultation and speaking with managers was really around increasing that confidence to give the confidence back to other people.
Yeah.
So, for example, encouraging and empowering people to come to their manager not just with a problem, but with solutions to problems and being proactive in problem solving, but giving people the confidence to do that. And what we wanted to do was really build that sense of empowerment through the whole management structure. So we decided that what we wanted to do was capitalise on the programme that Liz had developed and delivered for us originally. And that brings us bang smack up to today, because we are collaborating on a programme which is not just Liz and her vast experience and skills and her vast reading and bringing in new models and approaches and ideas about leadership and management, which is really refreshing. But to include some action learning with managers that myself and my colleague Sue will be facilitating, and introducing then personal development plans for everybody on that programme to then identify their own more specific learning from a pick and mix type arrangement within the council's corporate training offer. So I think the major objective is really to increase that capability, but to enable the continuity of a really clear pathway now for professionals in adult social care. So whilst I've been in my post, I'm the workforce development lead in the Adults and Communities Directorate. It's now clear that there's a pathway from being an assessment and enablement officer, which is somebody who provides a lot of the support and really frontline contact with people in communities to talk about care, to actually now having an offer with an apprenticeship to become a social worker or to become an occupational therapist, and then to support people once they've got that degree apprenticeship. So you can see that pathway going all the way through, and it's having the managerial confidence and expertise that is really going to bring that all the way through.
That's fantastic, because quite often that's missing, isn't it, in all organisations, but in all organisations, whether it's a council or whether it's a public, not public, private organisation or a multinational, we can often miss those pathways mm-hmm. to enable somebody to shine, to find what makes them really shine. And I would imagine that through the work that you're doing, if you've got somebody who's got the values and those right behaviours for the organisation, but may not just be in the right role, mm-hmm. then the work that you're doing can enable you to see, this is somebody that's so vital for Herefordshire Council. We want to keep them, but this particular function, this particular role isn't quite suiting them. So what can we do to tailor that? Would that be part of what I've heard there?
It would be, and it'd be about spotting ambition and talent and expertise and building people's skills to achieve what they want to achieve. So it's really built on a philosophy of growing our own workforce.
Yeah,
we know that we need to do that because the people that provide care and support to people in the community are a really scarce commodity, not just locally, mm. but nationally. Yeah. So the more we can do to support people and provide incentives for people to want to come and join our workforce as well.
Yes.
We can build the workforce for at every level, and that includes our leadership.
Yeah, fantastic. Last month I was talking to a colleague, Michelle Ibbs from I'm Your PA, and what she was talking about is that very thing of finding the right people within your business, within your council, and then giving them all of mm-hmm. those opportunities, and they will be with you for life. So that investment in your own business, you know, the work that the council does and the directorate that you're in, you're investing in that community, you're investing in those employees for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz, you'll have known before, so many people go on a training course and then
they have a great handout.
They have a great handout. They had a great lunch. What was the best bit about your training course?
The
chips. Yeah. Or the gin and tonic. Oh, no, that's just me.
No, I'm me.
Yeah. But what I'm hearing here is that whole tradition, you get sent on a course, you get some information, you go back to your day job. Somebody might say, can you fill in this feedback? And then you wait for the next course that you're told to be on. Mm. That isn't happening in your organisation at all, is it?
That's really not the intention. No. That's not how Liz and I and colleagues are working to produce this programme. It is about accountability in terms of, tell us what you're learning. Tell us how you're applying it to work. Tell us how you're supporting your colleagues. Yeah. In those action learning sets, but also back in the team.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the best thing, I think, about this programme, because often in learning and development, we talk about a return on investment and we go, yeah, as you say, great happy sheet. You know, the chips were fabulous, blah, blah, blah. But this is it's a great step up that Ruth and Sue are going to be working with people before the program to identify what they need to work on. We'll work on it. And then, of course, after the session with Ruth and Sue again, how are you actually applying this? What difference is it making? And particularly, I'm really keen on behaviours because, you know, culture is behaviour at scale.
Yes.
You know, and so if we aren't focusing on behaviours, then, well, we'll never know whether we can talk, can't we? Very hypothetically, great culture here. But how do you know? So, you know, Ruth and Sue are going to be working with people to ensure that if they're going to be behaving and they're committing to behave in a different way, that that actually is happening. And I know, we've had this conversation, is that if I knew, if I was wanting to come and work with an organisation and I was picking between two, well, there's one organisation that really invests in people and enable me to be that best version of themselves and find my career path, or there was another that just sort of, I don't know, it's a bit of a tick box exercise, I know which organisation I'd want to work for. And it was one that was investing in me and enabling me to grow and learn and improve and be there alongside me as I'm trying new things and having a go at stuff. Because it doesn't always go right the first time. You have to have a go and have another go. And that's how confidence occurs, just by practice. So it's a really exciting program. We're working in close partnership to put it together. So it is very exciting. I was just going to make sure I don't create so much material through my excitement and enthusiasm that I can't fit it all in.
Yeah, you're back to that one sheet of paper again.
Yes, I know.
But that is the real difference that is there. You know, how do you select the organisation that you want to work with? Yes, you will be looking at those technical abilities to be able to perform within the job and to enable somebody to be successful in that job from the technical aspect. But that success comes through with the team that they're working with, understanding how to get the best from them, and the organisation in enabling that common language. It's music to my ears from a HR consultancy side, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you talked about kind of almost in passing, because we were talking about other things, but where you are enabling your teams to identify where there's something not working well, mm-hmm. or something's broken, or it's not quite right, and having that courage to put the hand up and say, this isn't working right, but to then say, well, how can we fix it? Because traditionally it's broken. I'll wait for you, manager, to come back to me with the solution. But that's not the environment that we're working in these days, is it?
Certainly not, no. And that's what this program is looking to really instill and inspire people, because it will be threaded all the way through, and that the action learning sets will be about let's work through a problem, let's empower you to resolve this problem, and then you can go back to your teams and apply some of the things that you've learned from being in an action learning set, and do that in your team meetings.
Yeah, because the people who know the best solution to a problem are those that are experiencing it. Mm-hmm. And there have been many traditions in the past of it's a monkey, let's put the monkey on your back, and as a manager we may well have accepted all of those monkeys. I can't remember who came up with that as an analogy. It'll come to us at some point, but you know, it's accepting those monkeys and then the manager is responsible for solving it, whereas everything that you're doing here, which is what we want to embrace with employees, is that they identify it, flag it up, which is the right thing, because then that shared community, that shared thoughts, challenging that norm, challenging that different way of thinking, can come up with some of the most fantastic solutions, that when everybody has been part of that solution, it's in place, rather than, well, they'd have asked me, I could have told them that wouldn't have worked, which is what we'll have all heard before in our careers.
Mm-hmm. excuse me, it definitely is, because one of the things that we are looking at more and more in the work that we do with members of the public in the community who are in contact with us because of having care and support needs, is all about working in a strengths-based way. What can you already do, not what can't you do?
Yes.
So that philosophy is coming all the way through the organisation. So as a counselling practitioner, I know how hard it is to make a change for myself. So if I can't do good things to myself, how can I expect other people to? So it's all about that positivity. And the more that people can reflect and critically reflect on how they are and how they come across, and using the profiles from the Insights programme, really starting to have that holistic idea of who they are, what makes them tick, how they interact with other people and what their own strengths are, is just bringing it all back together.
And how we're in control of our own destinies.
Definitely.
In part of that, there's a real synergy with what you're talking about here too. I think we've talked about it before. In my background, I've done some work on why I do what I do, and I went back to when my parents were working in a centre for people with learning disabilities back in the 70s and 80s. Lots of labelling. They're disabled, this person can't do this because of the condition that they live with. And my parents said, no, these are adults, these are individuals, let's enable them to be the best that they can be, for them to shine in their own way. And it's wonderful to hear how, as an organisation, you're using the talents of Liz, the information that she has, to be able to present in a way that everybody can hear. You know, looking back on those four types from Insights, that everybody can hear the way that they hear, to apply it. You know, you're going to be going great guns as an organisation, aren't you?
It is fascinating. I know we talk about those four colouring edges, don't we? And they are really simple. But, on the wheel, we've got 72 individual wheel positions. And we think about those subtleties of differences between people, and how maybe perhaps some types of people on that Insights Discovery wheel might have a tendency to slip back into what you're describing, Claire, from however many years ago, which is almost like this old-fashioned management style where the manager is seen to be the person who has all the answers. I mean, firstly, very dangerous. And secondly, really, it's just so out of date. You know, we're looking much more to this transformational leadership style, which is very enabling for people. And Ruth and I have lovely conversations about coaching and the importance of having a coaching style. And then we had a chuckle, didn't we, on Friday about, you know, lots of people think, oh, well, I'm a really good leader. I'm really good at coaching. I ask lots of open questions. And then when you do a practice session with them, and then you're with actors as well, then they find actually there weren't open questions at all. They all started with can you and will you, and followed up by a leading statement. And that's not coaching. That's not enabling other people to be that best version of themselves. You're just imposing what you think on other people, which is it's just a style that we want to just make sure that we're moving on from. That's, as we say, that's the culture that we wish to achieve. Rather than just going, yeah, it's happening here, repetition. We know people go on coaching skills courses. We know they've done it before with me, but we're keeping on because we believe in it, don't we?
And it's seeing how people understand those subtleties, where they're able to spot them, and if they still have blind spots, because we do.
All of us have blind
Absolutely.
Spots. All of us do. And on training, I will joke and say it's okay to be consciously incompetent, because the idea is you've noticed that you've done it. But it's not okay to not notice that you've done something, because none of us are perfect. And that's where this continuous improvement happens. You just go, oops, oh, I could have asked that in a different way. Mm. I'll just reframe it. But if you don't notice that you could have reframed it in a different way, then, well, that's what we're aiming to achieve. So people can improve their awareness and just improve their practice. Mm-hmm. So it can radiate, as you say, Ruth, out, right out into the community with strengths-based work. So it's a culture that will prevail throughout and right out to you know, the community.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, I think we may be time for some more music. So let's just take a quick break and we will be back to you after this wonderful track.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
I go fall out in the sun. You know what I mean, so you know. Butterflies are all in fun. You know what I mean. But it takes time.
Listen. prescription. Looks so good that it hurts. You're a dime plus 99 and it's a shame. Don't even know what you're worth. Everywhere you go, they stop and stare, cause you're better than it shows. From your head to your toes, out of control. Baby, you know.
Oh, what's your home,
baby, you.
Never worry about
what I do.
I'll be coming home
back to you every night, doing you right.
You're the type of woman
deserves good things.
This for the diamonds,
a handful of rings.
Baby, you're a star.
I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you. Let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. Oh, baby, good love and protection. Oh, make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should let me.
You deserve it.
You know you deserve it.
Fantastic. So thank you for that little interlude that we've had with that music. So we've talked about where this originally came from, 2017, Stephen Vickers, and you worked with him for a few years on going through this programme, which, Ruth, is where you got involved. Mm. Clearly there was some success in what was going on, because otherwise there wouldn't have been this corporate development programme, that element that you were doing, and how you've gone into this new programme. What have the successes been that you've seen, Ruth, and some of the feedback that you may have had? Would you like to enlighten us?
Sure, yeah. I think it's on the back of a real belief in people and spotting where there are rising stars and people who just need that little bit of support to bring out their strengths.
Yeah.
That there is somebody who I am quite close to within the directorate who came into a role that was not a managerial role as such, but had a responsibility for leading on certain areas within the directorate, adults and communities. And that person was spotted. And spotted as someone who had the potential, but had come from a place where they'd taken some time out in further education, and had started really from a point that they hadn't left. They were in a different place when they went into higher education, so had been quite senior and had come out to find themselves in business support role, fairly low down the structure,
yeah,
and was seen working their way up. And that person was given an opportunity to demonstrate their skills a little bit more. Their strengths were picked out, their strengths were used, and that person is going from strength to strength with support, again, from their own manager and from the director of the directorate. So can see how the directorate has really invested in bringing out the best in people, and that is just one example, but you can see that in most teams across the directorate where there are rising stars, people with aspirations, people with ambition,
yeah,
and those talents are being spotted.
Fantastic. And how wonderful, because once those talents are spotted, this investment has been put in their path, then because they've taken that, they're going to make sure that everybody that they come in contact with receives the benefit of their coaching, their training, that development, that additional learning that they've got through everybody else that they work with.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, powerful.
It is powerful, and it breeds, because the person I've just described has also had the opportunity to bring other people on,
yeah,
and do as they were done to.
Yeah.
So there is real culture of picking up on positive behaviours, what people can do rather than what people can't do.
Absolutely.
And having that opportunity. So it's quite a successful model for us to see that happen.
Absolutely. And Liz, you were talking about before where you may have people who don't fit the organisation and don't have the same behaviours that are going to breed success can have that negative impact. We see that tenfold with somebody who has that positive impact. That's fantastic. So Liz, as the deliverer of these programmes, as the person who provides this knowledge information for people to take up, what sort of feedback have you been receiving from the cohorts?
I think the biggest bits of feedback that I get from people when they describe, I feel so much more confident.
Yeah.
So not only do we learn lots of theories and techniques. I mean, when you mention a theory, you might get half the room going, whoa, that sounds brilliant. And the other half of the room thinking, oh, that sounds boring. But take, for example, just that positivity. We use a model by a guy called Declan Coyle called the Green Platform. And see, Ruth is already smiling at me. She's going, yeah, I remember that one. And a great book, but it is all about either whether do we react to stuff or do we respond. Mm. And the Green Platform talks about positivity. It talks about creativity. You know, even when we're faced with a problem, we don't then go round as we started this whole conversation off. Oh, well, here's a problem. Because no one wants to spend time around people like that, that are kind of the fun sponges of the world. So, you know, we want to surround ourselves with people who, even when faced with a problem, will go, right, well, what can we do about that? How can we tackle it as a team? What are the great ideas that we've all got? You know, so it's, you know, it's when people pick up on stuff like that, so they'll learn a theory and a model, and then as a result of them practicing things, and we do lots of exercises in the training room, and then even on some of the sessions I bring in actors so they can practice some of this language, and then they'll say at the very end, I feel so much more confident. And it's a really hard thing to measure. If you've got a happy sheet on a scale of kind of 0 to 10 or what have you, and unless you ask the right questions on there, how do you measure confidence? But it's that anecdotal evidence. And, and Ruth then will see that when she is working on action in action learning sets with people. Maybe the first time that she might see people, you know, they might not say very much, or that, you know, they think, oh, I need to keep quiet because I've got this high introversion. And then what's really exciting is when you see people behaving differently. I've noticed people, you know, chipping in, having great ideas. You know, you can see their confidence growing. And I think that's truly awesome. I often think I've got the best job in the world, because even sometimes just on a 3-day program, I can see that confidence and how it's changed from day one to, you know, day three. I think that's just great. So that's some of the feedback that I've had. You know, people said at times I was really stretched. At times I found it really difficult. But you know what? As a result, I've learned, and I feel so much that better version of myself. And then, of course, as Ruth is saying, it radiates out to other people. I mean, how great is that?
And clearly what I've picked up today is this isn't just about the employees. It's not about that tier of managers. It's about everybody within the organisation and everybody who accesses and receives the support from Herefordshire Council. Wow. That is just wow. Yeah. I think wow's the word for that, isn't it?
Well, it radiates, you know, success radiates out. And we say the importance of behaviours. You know, people remember you in a day that, you know, you really touch someone's lives in that day. And how great is that? So as Ruth was saying, yes, it radiates out within your team and with your colleagues, and it radiates out to people out in the community when they feel that, yeah, I do have access to this and that. And how great is that, that I have a freedom and freedom of choice to be that best version of myself, rather than sort of that dependency that maybe we've created in the past. You know, well, the council give me this and the council give me that. Well, it's all about that empowerment. Well, I've actually got a lot of those things already at my fingertips. So let's help you to get better access to some of those things you already have.
And sometimes it's not always going to be comfortable. A program such as that design by Liz isn't always going to be comfortable, because people are coming out of their comfort zone, but learning in a supported way, and it's different ways of learning that I think has helped people to pick up on some new ways of thinking, some good habits, and to be tested, but in a safe way. And there's, as someone who's been on that program, it's feeling that camaraderie, because yes, we are trying out skills and we are being observed, and we've got actors remembering everything we've said and putting it back on us. You know, sometimes thinking, did they really hear me say that? Because they've just planted it back on me. So there's no getting away with that. So here I am being stretched. And that's exactly what we are looking at doing all the way through the organisation and into the community, and supporting people to try something new, try something different, and perhaps become more independent and learning new things.
Wow, fantastic. But Liz, you don't only work with Herefordshire Council, do you?
No, I have a really exciting range of people that I work with. And what is fascinating to me is that wherever you are, a lot of these organisations are facing exactly the same challenges. So I do some work with Motorola. Of course, they're a global organisation, but I concentrate on colleagues that are based either in London, Basingstoke or Rugby. I also work with United Living, who are a construction and housing organisation. And actually, one of the programmes I've been involved with and deliver is working with their subcontractors, because they recognise the value of their supply chain. So, you know, working with supervisors who are looking after people on the construction sites, from plasterers to bricklayers. And of course, it's the first time they've had access to leadership training. I mean, why would they have learned some of that stuff in the past? And that programme was up for an award. We are going for another award, so let's just cross fingers. We didn't get the first one, but we're aiming for a second. Other clients that I work with, Sitemark, they are a facilities management consultancy. They're based in Malvern, and an exciting business who are on the up, particularly with a lot of what's been going on with in the last sort of 16 months and marketplaces. I work with them. And also Ancala, they're a water services company. They're based up in Barnsley. So that's a great organisation. So it's really diverse, from small organisations to larger organisations. And also I work with people on a one-to-one basis. Yeah. So I'm working with a couple of people at the moment, and they are looking at coaching to help with their confidence, help with their, you know, being that best version of themselves. And I've mentioned that a few times today. Just to find their place in the world. So one of my clients has been in teaching for a long time and has come out of teaching and decided, you know, I want to be doing something different. So we're just exploring where she's heading. I know we've talked about purpose and values.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of work in exploring her purpose and values. And she's just like a flower coming out in spring, how she's just finding all of those answers. It's really exciting to watch.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. That's great to hear. How can any of the listeners get in touch with you, Liz, if they've been inspired by what we've talked today and how Ruth has really shown how the value of what you do has developed for Herefordshire Council? So how can the listeners get in touch?
Well, I do have a website which has links to all of my social media channels. And my website is egpeopledevelopment.co.uk. I'm also on Twitter as egpeopledevelop. You can find me on Facebook as egpeopledevelopment. And all of my contact details are on the website. So my mobile number is on there. And also the contact page comes straight through to my email. So egpeopledevelopment.co.uk is the best way of finding me, but I don't know about anyone else. Occasionally I do Google myself and I do come up as number one. So yeah, Ruth's laughing as well. So, you know, if you just type my name in Liz Gaite, that's G-A-I-T, you'll find me through Google as well.
Oh, I haven't Googled myself for years. I might have to do that.
It's a funny thing to do, particularly images.
Yeah. Maybe I won't. Ladies, it has been an absolute pleasure and a delight to have you in the studio today. Thank you so much for being so open about the work that you've done together and how it's going to develop. Herefordshire is going to be a place to be.
And absolutely.
Liz, thank you. You've touched the hearts of so many people. Please continue to do so.
Thank you.
So thank you both.
Welcome. Thank you.
And with your local news, I'm James Vukmirovich. Refuse workers at Samwell Council will take further strike action this month as a row over bullying, health and safety and wage concerns continues. A 24-hour action from 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday 6th of October will affect domestic waste collections for more than 60,000 households in the area. Following an initial strike action at the end of August, the Union GMB suspended a further three strike dates in scheduled for September after Serco Management requested fresh talks. However, Serco Management have walked away from agreed dispute resolution meetings and are now refusing to engage with the union's workplace representatives. A man was injured after his car crashed into a wall in Sedgley. Emergency services were called after the car crashed on Dudley Road in Sedgley at around 7 p.m. on Sunday night.